G'day guys and girls, and welcome to another episode of the Scouting Australia podcast, powered by Australian Property Scout Buyers Agency. I'm your host, Sammy Gordon, and I am not joined by my regular co-host, James Ibrahim, the man himself, the bull. But instead, I am joined by a much better looking bloke, a much younger bloke, and a good fella all round. Mr. Lukey Montgomery, mate. How are you?
Good, mate. Thanks for having me. A lot less grey hairs.
A lot less grey hairs, mate. And you made a special request for the golden mic, mate.
Yes. Took your one off you. You know, I know you've spent a bit of time on the Gold Coast now and you like your golden microphones and flashy things. So thanks for letting me use it.
No worries, mate. No worries at all. Yeah, you give me a bit of stick about the old GC these days, mate.
Mr. GC himself.
Mate, Lukey, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, mate? I feel privileged, man. You're our first guest on the podcast, sharing your story as an investor. You've got a unique story, man. And I'm really looking forward to breaking it down for the listeners, mate.
No, awesome. Yeah, again, thanks for having me. So bit of context on me, you know, I've been investing now in property for my journey's nearly probably 5 years in, but realistically we're 2 years into it, and it's been a whirlwind, and there's been a lot of life lessons, which hopefully no one makes my mistakes.
Mate, there's been a lot of stuff, and I think the cool thing about your story, which obviously we're going to dive into, is, mate, mistakes are, they're there for a reason, right? They teach you lessons, and sometimes mistakes in property can be the biggest and the most costly lessons, you know, that you're going to learn. But man, the amount of stuff you can learn off the back of it as well sets the foundations for something like what you've built over the last couple of years, man. So
yeah, literally, like, to go back in time, you know, my first property was purchased at the beginning of 2017, which is a pretty funny story in itself. I literally woke up on New Year's Day and said, hey, I'm going to go buy a property, and thought I knew everything about property because, you know, you listen to your parents and all these different things, and went on realestate.com and bought the first place I looked at for like way too much money. Yeah. And that was an expensive 2 year lesson.
So talk us about that, man. But let's take one step back first, right? Before we dive into that, tell us, why property? Why property is an asset class? And how old are you now? Like, how long ago was this? 5 years ago?
Yeah, so I'm 30 now. I was 25 at the time when I bought my first place.
Yep.
Why property? It's probably the most accessible and achievable wealth creation strategy you can have for just the normal person. Like, yep. I'm no super smart guy. I kind of get what's going on, but, you know, shares and Bitcoin and all that kind of stuff, that's just not me. I don't get how that stuff works. So bricks and mortar, things that I can see and touch.
Okay.
Makes a lot of sense.
The Australian dream, the old Australian. Yeah. That's good, mate.
Dirt.
Good stuff.
Everyone loves dirt.
That's it, man. All right. Well, why don't you walk us through then this first investment, the lesson, the big lesson for the big man himself.
The $250,000 mistake. And that is the number. So that was a one-bedroom apartment in the southern South Sydney in Cronulla. Red brick, just renoed thing. Bought the first place I looked at. Thought I knew what I was doing.
Renoed? You say it was renoed?
No, needed a renoed.
This thing
was like, okay, this was deceased estate spec.
Okay.
Carpet was moldy.
Yep.
And then renovated it all myself, which was really good. And the lessons that whole property gave me was awesome.
Yeah, like, okay.
Yeah, I lost a lot of money. I basically paid just over 600 grand for it, sold it 2 years later for 65 grand less after renos and holding costs. So.
Yeah. So talk us through the, why is it $250,000 mistake?
So obviously black and white numbers.
Yeah.
So you buy a property for 600 grand and then you sell it for, you know, 50 grand less 2 years later.
Yeah.
Add stamp duty on, you know, there's
holding costs,
you know,
reno,
you know, basically 2 years of interest only payments, stamp duty.
Yeah.
Sell it for less.
Sales costs on the back end as well.
Literally sales costs, you know, all those things add up, marketing, you know, repairs throughout, you know, vacancies.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
that was an investment, and it was vacant probably for 30% of the time that I owned it, just due to just different struggling issues with tenants. So it just was a bad time.
Okay.
But the best thing that ever happened.
Yeah. Okay. All right, man. Curious as well, because you would probably... Would you label this as more of a blue chip sort of style investment? Like, how far from the beach are you in Cronulla? Cronulla, for those that don't know, it's a beachside suburb, you know, half an hour south of Sydney, very nice part of the world.
Like 50 metres to the beach.
Oh,
like,
shit, okay.
From a lifestyle perspective, so ticked like the Instagrammable kind of side of things.
Yeah.
50 metres from the beach, top story, the whole apartment looked over the water, like lots of good attributes on a level that doesn't actually make sense with property.
Okay. It's a blue chip.
Full blue chip.
Okay, what was the turnaround time? So you bought this thing in 2017?
That was January 2017. And then I sold that, what was it, December 2019? So pretty much exactly 2 years.
Okay, pretty much exactly 2 years. Yep. All right.
And that, you know, I bought that again at the peak of a market.
Yeah.
With no understanding, no advice from anyone, no input, just thinking I knew how to do it. And hey, I live in this area, you know, by where I live, how hard could it be? Pretty hard.
Mate, what we're talking about in this app, right, is how you've gotten to the portfolio you've got now.
Yeah.
What I'd love to know, and this is probably, because, man, I'm literally hurting a little bit listening to this because you're a legend, man. I love you, mate. You're a top bloke, right?
Thanks, bro.
And to know that you lost, like, essentially when you worked out the numbers, quarter of a mil, how did you mentally get past that to then go, all right, I'm going to start again? And then, and what were the steps? You know, you decided to start again. You decided to use someone, a professional, but talk me through that, getting over that, because that must have mentally been a roadblock.
Yeah, of course.
And then getting back into it.
So I think probably about 12 months into owning it, I realized what I'd done. Probably wasn't even 12 months, like 6 months in, I was like, oops. And at that point, I knew that I had to try and work out an exit strategy to get out of that, because I knew it was going to hurt at some point, and then go again. Yeah. Like, it probably never really turned me off wanting to have property and still using it as a wealth creation strategy and buying houses.
So even losing that much, like you were realizing, even in your 20s, man, you were like, okay, I've just made a mistake on this thing. That was it. Like you realized you just had to move past it and start it again.
Okay. Yeah, like I don't think, like, my character doesn't let me kind of dwell on stuff like that. Like, if I stuff something up, I stuff it up and well, like, you know, there's a lesson that's a, you know, $250,000 lesson. But what that's taught me is obviously a lot of educate yourself better, speak with people that know what they're doing, and rely on people to, you know, help you throughout your process, because you don't know everything. And frankly, I don't have the time to be able to invest in learning what I need to learn to be able to go do it all by myself.
Yeah. Yeah. So, fair enough, man.
Yeah, it was just lots of podcasts, reading, and that's kind of how we found you.
That's it, man. That's
good old podcast.
And the funny thing is as well, and listeners, we're going to be getting in, funnily enough, like, Lukey's got two brothers as well. And both those boys, like, all three of them have invested now cumulatively. You guys, I think you're up to 10 total with Liam's partner, Maddie, as well. And then 10 total, right?
Add my cousin in there as well.
That's
I think it's like 13 or something.
Must be.
It's a growing little, like, hub.
It's like a little conglomerate, a little family.
Yeah, we all compare notes.
That's beautiful, man. All right, perfect. All right, so talk me through that. Then you discovered us, because I remember Liam, your brother, who actually is going to be on the podcast soon as well, he was actually the first one to buy with me, but you were going through all this stuff yourself in exiting this deal and saving your capital back up.
Yeah, exactly.
But he obviously came in and started working with us first.
Yeah.
But then talk us through, you know, you obviously heard us on that. What was the process around that? What was the process, I guess, of engaging and everything as well, like, to going down that route?
After listening to different podcasts, came across you, and I actually had heard about you and listened to you actually before Liam did, which is just circumstantial. And he's like, hey, I want to go buy a property. What should I do? I'm like, well, hey, I listened to this podcast with this guy. Listen to him. He plays soccer up the road. And he's like a cool dude. Let's have a listen to that. And he did. And I think then pretty soon after that, he reached out to you. Yeah. And I think we'd already spoken maybe at that point.
Yeah.
And he reached out to you to do his first property probably 6 months before I bought.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I actually remember it was clear because I went and caught up with him, because at the time, because I spent a lot of time in the Shire and whatnot, and I went around to your family home and caught up with the family, and your other, like, the other brother Justin was there as well. And it was funny, mate. It was good to, you know, it's a pretty crazy experience. You guys are the only ones that's, you know, kind of buying like a big family like that. So I love it. It's a cool story.
Yeah, it's pretty funny how it's all transpired since then, and you know, with the family and just the results that we keep getting is why we keep coming back.
Yeah.
It just makes it so simple.
Yeah. No, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. Well, mate, let's talk about deal number one with APS. This is your second property. So you sold out of the first one.
Yep.
It's gone. Property one's actually out of the picture. We're on to number two, but the first of your actual, that's the new part of your life rather than your portfolio.
The success.
That's it. Let's talk us through that, man. Let's go.
So what's that? That is August 2020. In Brisbane. So Logan kind of area. Obviously engaged Sam, and it was kind of off the back of that kind of COVID market where things had started to normalize again off the initial scare. And we came across a cracking little home in Bris Vegas. And it was
a funny one. This photos. One. Like,
the house was like, you know, an old couple been living in it, ready to retire. I think they may be moving into a home or something. Yep. And they had like a walking frame, and like every single wall in this property had just gouges in it from the walking frame.
The chick didn't have the best aim. The old girl moving around didn't have the best aim with the walking frame, and she was
really
good
at
whacking a wall.
Carts, yeah. Like, it was, she was a paint and panel special.
Well, that's good. It was right up your alley then, wasn't it?
Yeah, literally suits me.
The big car fanatic.
Big car guy.
Beautiful, mate. All right, so talk us through the numbers. Talk us about the deal. Obviously, this deal was off market, another APS special. Talk us through about.
Yeah, this deal is absolute cracker for me. This set up the whole portfolio and still is performing awesomely today. So purchase price, $261.5 million. You know, we had a tenant go into it straight away. Did a small reno, which again, APS kind of managed that whole process, helped with trades, helped with getting leasing agents, helped with the marketing. Everything was turnkey. Mm. I didn't have to stress about anything. I'm a bit of a control freak, so I like to know what's going on, but I didn't have to worry about it. Like, I didn't have to go and find the process. And, you know, I think day of settlement, we had tenants moving in at 380 at the time.
They got 400, man. I remember that.
Oh, no, well, it was 400.
When I spoke to the property manager, they told me 400. It blew my mind. Because I think I told you 350, 360, and we got 400. It blew my mind.
Yeah, that's right.
I was surprised we got that. On a 261 plus minor reno. Yeah. So.
And, you know, the purchase price was exceptionally advantageous given budgets and what your raw return is there. But then, you know, we were like 50 grand or 60 grand instant equity on settlement, which helped catapult the next three properties that I've purchased since then.
100%. And I think one of the beautiful things that I loved about this property for you as well was, I remember you said to me, you go, look, you know, being a New South Welshman, you've got that bit of a desire for a bit more land. You know, down New South Wales, people love to build their grannies and their secondary dwellings and whatnot. And I remember you saying to me, man, I'd love something that still has that bit of land content, which isn't always the easiest to find at that bottom end of the market. So I think like having that in the portfolio, obviously it's had ridiculous growth. It was an amazing play equity when we bought it, but that growth that it's had since, like you said, you're pulling deposits out and you're being able to roll into other deals, but you've still got that lever to pull as a secondary dwelling for additional cash flow, which we're, you know, obviously talking about at the moment with interest rates and whatnot to really build some cash flow back into the portfolio as well.
Yeah, that was a big thing. It's probably specifically why me myself, but probably also the family, has chosen to use you and, you know, emulate kind of what you've done and use your business. Is it's not just, hey, we're just going to buy a house that does one thing, like there, you know, it's that whole Trident thing. There's three or four different aspects about every property, and that's super important, not just from a purchase perspective, but for what you can open you up to do later. Like, that was a big thing for me, and it's been the same for everything else we've bought since then. Like, everything has to kind of be two uses.
100%, man. No, that's beautiful. Mate, how did that make you feel after the first one? So you've had your first one that hasn't gone 100% to plan, and then you've gone and you've bought this deal, and obviously the numbers have come out, because you revalued it quite soon after as well, correct?
Yeah, like, basically, I think we waited the minimum 3 months and pulled all the equity out. So, which that's like initial deposit, like fee, like everything.
BA fees, stamp duty, everything
was back out straight away. So, and it was still, you know, I think it was like 7.8% or something there.
As
like
a yield.
Yeah. Insane. Cranking. Like, so, you know, knowing the results were there beforehand, obviously you had a track record that proved all of that, was reassuring. And again, why we used you, but it was still a super nervous moment off. Just there's always that kind of scar tissue that you have from the first deal that I ever did myself. And, you know, you go, well, if I screw this up, like, we could be 500 in the hole here. Like, those get to be pretty scary numbers. And then, you know, it was a weird time. It was like a lot of uncertainty just in everything at the time, which probably worked in our favor getting that property.
It was.
At that price for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was the best thing I ever did.
Beautiful, man. I'm glad to hear it.
Thank you.
So what was the process, man? Talk us through the timeframes, because we bought that kind of in August 2020, you said. So talk us through the timeframes in terms of, I guess, equity release, you know, taking the cash back out of it, looking towards the next deal. Obviously, we're recording this very early 23. We're just in, you know, start of Feb, you know, but you acquired quite a number of properties after that one in that two-year window. So talk us about that. August settlement 2020.
Yep.
So what was the process of the next deal?
August settlement 2020, it was late August, and then basically we had to wait, you know, your 3 month kind of time period to be able to do the refi. Again, we had the instant equity there that we were able to tap into. So that was, you know, what, 3 months there, early kind of late in the year, December.
21.
And then I think you and me were just doing kind of a quick update, and you're like, oh, hey, there's like did you get the equity out? I'm like, yeah. He's like, well, I've got another deal for you. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, let's go. So, you know, I'm pretty sure the next place that was in WA, Perth, and that was like February 21.
Yeah.
We settled on that. Like, it was like straight away. It was like quick. 4 weeks settlement. It's like, yep, we're doing it. Let's go.
That was it. Stress seller, need to sell.
Yeah.
I have a feeling this one may also have been off market.
I think we've gone nearly most of them have been.
Four from four.
Yeah, we try to avoid the market.
That's it.
But yeah, like, again, you know, going to that Perth property, that's a cracker as well. Like, a really nice brick home in South Perth. Does the job. Like, great. We had a tenant in there from the get-go. that we, it was $285 we paid for that.
$285 purchase.
We did the building and pest, and then there were some issues that we were able to get rectified and then do a bit of renegotiating. And that was a good deal.
Definitely.
It was a great deal. Probably is one of my favorite ones out of the portfolio.
It's a nice one too, because again, nice big land content, over 700 squares, renovated 4x1 home on it as well.
Granny flat.
That's it, man. You've got all those extra levers. Mate, I forgot to ask you one question on the first one with us. Yep. What do you reckon current market value? We bought that at 261.5. What's estimation on current? Recent bank value? Actually,
bank value is like 550. She's double.
So in we're less than 2.5 years, and she's more than double in that time frame.
That vows December last year.
Okay.
That's still a little over two. 2 years.
Yeah. Beautiful. Not how
good
is that?
Good return on investment.
Not too bad, mate. Yes. Not too bad a punt.
Not too shabby.
You've kind of cleared out number one for the real number one.
You've made me like, Queensland now. Can't give you too much crap about it anymore.
For all you Queenslanders out here, I'm going to send you his address so you can come and hunt this man. No, beautiful, man. All right, sweet. So we've more than doubled on property one.
Yeah.
I apologize. We're moving on to deal number two. What do you think that one's worth now?
Deal number two. That's
$285 purchase.
Four. It's got to be four.
Yep.
Probably a fraction better.
Yep. Yep. Sweet. Easily. So we're talking around about 40% growth.
Yep.
Well, that started 21. So in about 2 years, we've seen 20% growth per year, give or take around about that sort of amount. And it's funny too, because, and it probably in that first month, because we probably made about 10% on the way in, right? Yep. You would agree. Yeah. We made about 10% in.
It's probably a bit more than that. I think again, revalued that 3 months and we took 40 out.
Yep.
So essentially again, deposit.
Yeah.
Any capital that went in came back out.
Yeah, beautiful. But even if you look at those numbers, right? Like let's say, because we got in, and I remember I called you, and that's what I was saying, like we're entering Perth. Like it was very early. Not a lot of people were kind of getting in around that time, that late 2020, early 21. And I said, mate, I think you should be getting in on this. This market's really, it's prime for a good run here. And I remember you backed me on it, same way you backed me on Brizzy, because everyone was still bagging Brizzy at that time as well, especially the sort of areas that we were buying in. But the proof's in the pudding. And so it was a bit of a slower first 12 months. But then last year, man, you look at the majority of the market is in decline across the whole of Australia. And let's say you'd made your 10% on the way in, you had your 10% growth in 21, and you probably had 20% plus growth last year as well, where most of the market has declined, which is insane. Yeah. Absolutely insane. And what are you renting that for at the moment as well?
That's $450.
$450 a week. $450 on a $285 purchase.
Yeah.
That's not too shabby with the pretty ability good for a secondary dwelling, the old lever.
Yeah, literally just pull the lever whenever we want to and double it, double down.
Beautiful, mate. All right, I love that. So you've got one of the 263 that's currently worth $550.
Yep.
Beautiful. You got one at the 286, currently worth circa $400,
yep,
with plenty of growth left in the tank.
Heaps.
Both of them levers still to pull. How are you feeling at this point?
Pretty good. Like a lot of faith in the process.
Yep.
It's as simple as that. Yeah. The next two are pretty indicative of the faith level and how quickly we moved, like limited thinking.
That's it, man. That's it. Is there anything else you want to throw in on either of those first two before we moving on?
Not really. Like it's been, the first one was obviously the most nerve wracking because it was just all new, but then you see the result and you go, wait a second. Not only he knows what he's doing. Mm. This works, and then do it again that easily. Cause let's be real, that was pretty easy getting the same result essentially. And it was a pretty good experience.
Yeah. 100%, man. 100%. Beautiful, mate. That's great to hear. Now, rolling on to number three, this has to be one of my favorites in your portfolio. For the price that we picked this up, and I knew where we were at the time in the market as well. I don't want to steal your thunder here and start telling too much, but this is one that I love in your portfolio. We know
it's probably the one I don't like as much. I don't know why. It's so weird.
I don't know either.
You love this place.
Because I know the market's better than you. I know how good this deal is. Tell me about number three then.
So number three, also in WA.
Yeah.
So Perth, nice little area, kind of newer builds, kind of properties, like early
2000s,
early 2000s, late 90s, kind
of 90s, 2000s, sort of suburbs.
Yeah, again, just a nice, simple, single level brick home in Perth.
Time frame, when's this?
What's this? 4 months later.
Wow, was it that quick?
Yeah, 4 months later, I revalued and we went again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's pretty quick.
Talk me through the numbers, man.
So 315 purchase price. Rented it straight away.
Can I just ask, whereabouts was this? Was this one found? What platforms was this one advertised on?
probably off market.
can confirm, not on the platforms.
Yeah, not on anywhere. This is why you have a BA 101. So 315 purchase price. Straight away renting it. It had tenants already in it. It was already tenanted. I think one of the reasons we were able to get the deal on this was it had the tenants in there, and they were a bit.
questionable.
Yeah, yeah, that's the word.
Messy.
I'll use. Yeah, messy's messy is another good word. Hoarders, hoarders, yeah, hoarders, questionable. There we go. There's some good words, good describing words. That helped obviously be able to get it off market because, like, for the owner to try and get tenants out, clean it, that would have been. That'd be great.
And there was still a bit of time left on the lease, right? Yep. I think this is one of the big things. And again, sorry, mate, to cut you off here a little bit, but I think this is one of the beautiful parts of negotiating is like so often, and this deal, I'll let you run the numbers in a sec, but significantly below market and being able to get access to it and take it out because of the connections that was already there. But then also, you know, being able to negotiate extremely hard because they knew if they took that to market, it would be a hard thing to sell to an owner-occupier. But for us, we knew there was only a few months left on the lease. It might have been, like, it probably looked longer. It might have looked like, you know, say maybe 5 or 6 months. But when you've got something like a 45, 60-day settlement on it, you've only really carrying it for 3 or 4 months. 2 months into that, you send through the termination notices and whatnot as well to move them out, clean it up and release it. But it's such a great ability to be able to negotiate and drive really, really good prices on things like that. Drive down the prices for us to have great buy prices.
Actually, there's a cracker in this one too. Like, I forgot about this. I don't even have told you this. Like, when we bought that, that was at like 280 rent. And then they think they'd re-signed a tenancy pre-settlement for an extra, for like 340.
Yeah, right.
Straight away, like there's you know, $80. And then that was only a 6 month lease. Yeah. And then we put it up $100 after
that.
So it's that's now $450.
$450.
Same tenant.
The hoarders are there.
The hoarders are still there.
Didn't even kick them out.
They don't want to move.
Oh, beautiful.
It'd be too hard. there's a lot of stuff there.
Like, oh, that's good.
It's sweet. They're nice people.
That's
good. They pay their rent.
So same tenant since settlement.
Yeah.
And you're up to that amount.
Yeah. Yeah. Their rent's up $150.
Tell me what values as well. Values, where are we at?
Well, you know this one probably better than I do.
I do.
Because I have a different opinion all the time to you. But this is, again, this is like early fours.
Yeah.
You'll say middle fours.
It's definitely mid fours. Yeah. If I could buy this thing right now low fours, I'd do it any day of the week. Obviously, the 315 we bought it for was just before the market properly turned. That was the absolute bottom of the market when we picked that one up. And it had already turned. It was mid going into the high threes when we picked that deal up for you as well. And it's only kind of continuous run since then. Mate, you can't buy, I can guarantee you can't buy in this area at the moment for those low fours. So mid fours are definitely where this thing's pegged at.
And again, there was, I think, probably just over like 15%. Equity, like sitting there right on settlement. So again, it's proven formula.
The reason I love this deal as well, guys, like one of the big things that makes me love this deal is this is kind of where I started to generate. It's a bit of a client list where you text them the details of a deal. You don't go into full detail. You just like text me and go, mate, I got this beast for you. These are the basic details. And Lukey just goes back, send me the contract. Easiest sell ever.
Literally, that is a trend. It's like, hey, I found something. Yeah. And just like a random text message comes through. I'm like, yeah, send me your contract. How much? Yeah, send me the contract.
But I think this is where the trust is built, man, you know. And I think this is where, you know, and I can be someone to say this because, you know, I got burnt by a BA back in the day as well that I took too trustworthy on that end as well and took their word too easily. And I got burnt on that end as well. So I take massive, I guess, pride in my ability of not taking advantage of that and helping clients as much as I can. But that's why I think like this is awesome, man. I absolutely love that because the guys in the team, they laugh because it's like, oh, he's closing people with texts and just, but it's, you know, when you have the quality of the deals and they trust you. And but the proof is in the pudding, man. Like we're probably not even 18 months on from when we bought that thing and you would be up pretty well 50%.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah.
But it's,
and
it's,
you're at 450 a week rent as well. Same tenants, no same release. Tenant.
No problems.
Oh, good.
Just easy.
Still hoarding. You been there lately?
I drove past it for the first time.
Okay.
Like, I actually don't really worry about looking at my properties. Like it's so transactional to me. It doesn't have any value. But I actually was over west recently and drove past and went, yep, that's a house. I own that. Cool. And just kept driving. There it is. Cool.
How does it make you feel about?
It's good.
Like, at this point, you're at three properties.
Oh, we're flying.
Like, feeling good?
Yeah, of course. Like, you know, we're 18 months pretty much into the cycle since the first purchase.
Yep.
And you know, you look at what we've achieved with essentially one deposit.
Yeah.
Like, that's absurd. And, you know, throughout this time, Brisbane's taken off, you know, WA starting to go. We're in a pretty good place.
Yeah. Because at that time as well, if we're mid, was this mid? No, this probably would have been late 21.
Yeah.
This would have been late 21. So late 21.
I think we settled there January 22.
Okay. Wait, which one?
WA.
That one.
Another one.
22 was Yeah, so 21. Yeah. so almost slipping a few deets here, guys. Yeah,
we've got code. Can't tell you all the secrets.
But okay, that's beautiful. And the thing that I love looking back on as well is like at this time, and this is what I talk to people about, is the snowball effect and it really coming in. And I think you and your siblings as well have really come in here, and it's like the snowball effect really starts taking hold, and you're like, shit, you can just start, you literally, I call it, it's a bad saying, a bad expression, but I kind of call it like raping and pillaging the equity in your portfolio as you're growing, because you do, you need that equity to really keep growing. Like, yes, you can keep chipping in deposits, which is really important, but if you keep going back and stripping that capital out, and while it's a bad expression, it is the best way to really accelerate and build the portfolio. And that's why, like, I loved, I remember we were looking back at that time and you'd call me, you'd talk about a deal and you go, oh yeah, I think it's worth this. But I'm obviously full ears on the ground knowing exactly everything and where prices are at. And I remember when we bought that one, we were maybe, I don't even think we were 18 months past buying Brizzy.
Yeah.
And, you know, you were up 200 grand. You were probably up, it was in the mid fours for that purchase. And I just remember telling you just like, holy fuck, man, are you serious?
This is
like,
going.
Yeah, right. Like, and she's still going. Like, yeah. Market's still cranking. So,
but it's true. It's that snowball effect.
Yes.
Like, you know, you look at the roll on to where we are now. Like, it's you know, the volume speaks for itself.
Yeah.
You know, that's why you want to have more. That's why you keep buying more. The snowball only gets bigger as it goes down the hill.
That's it, man. That's it. Time frames. Deal number four. Where are we at? Where are you? Where? What are you purchasing this property with? What equity are you pulling from for property number four?
Still from Brisbane.
Still from Brizzy.
Still Brizzy.
The ultimate rape and pillage is on for Brizzy.
Definition conclusion. Brisbane.
All right. Yeah, Brizzy. So it's the farm. It's the equity farm.
Literally. Basically, you know, there's four properties. One deposit was the initial equity, and essentially two and a half realistically have been out of Brizzy.
Okay.
So
okay.
That one property is kind of released.
Have you tapped any equity out of the two Perth deals at this
one,
point?
One Perth deal.
So one Perth deal is still untouched.
Yeah.
First or second one?
Second.
So it's got untouched. 150 grand sitting in that.
Yeah. Untouched.
Well, yeah. Here we go. Sorry, guys. The strategy sessions with Sam's a little bit out of date here with old Lukey. I'm forgetting that someone's been left at the start. We're just toweling that up. Yeah,
just waiting. Just waiting.
Beautiful. Yeah,
there's a plan of attack.
We need to talk about
what we're doing there. that comes back to, you know, the previous properties like Brisbane and the first Perth one where there's granny flies involved.
100%.
Time to pull some levers. That's the lever.
100%. Man, talk us about number four.
Number four, North Queensland. North Queensland? It's North Queensland, isn't
regional
it?
Regional Queensland? Let's call it regional Queensland. Yeah.
Queensland. North Queensland.
Whatever. Queensland.
It's all the same place.
Yeah, that's it.
Cane toads. It's not the Gold Coast.
I got a pet cane toad, man, at home.
One?
Four.
I was going to say.
It's like, I'll race them.
Still four?
I'll race them.
I reckon you'll get home and there'll be like 20.
Nah, they eat each other. It's weird. Oh, okay. Yeah. Cannibals. Anyway, sorry, moving on.
Yeah, cool. Good. Cane toad facts with Sam.
Mate, definitely. Moving on. Deal number four.
Facts.
Queensland.
Queensland. Good old Queensland. So, yeah, this is what, mid last year? Basically, it's a time frame.
Yes.
So it's, mid 22. We put, what is this? Two? Oh, it's a four.
You had a bit of a breather.
Yeah.
You had a bit of a breather. You had some things going on in life.
Yeah, there was a few things with work and some changes in, you know, business side of things and work roles. So I kind of had to kind of put things on ice for a little bit just to see what transpired, because I didn't want to go all in with some solid debt, even though it's positive debt. Like, you don't want to have that and have
other. And you had other things on your mind as well.
There was other stuff going on.
Yeah.
Wanted to go do some other things with my money, basically. Cars. Don't do that. So
he's a car fanatic, in case you guys don't know. Our producer is also a car fanatic. I had to pull them apart and wrestling. They were bloody an hour because they couldn't stop talking about this stuff. So,
loves his cars.
Speaking of me, I love them as well. So. Yeah,
you're a big car guy. You're more like that GC car guy.
Very GC.
Very GC. Fluoro wraps.
Definitely not.
Driving around with your shirt off.
Full black car, all blacked, all white. That's all.
Very GC.
All right, number four. Number four.
Yeah. So Queensland, we paid $295 for this. Again, this is the deposit and everything for this is equity release from the other properties in the portfolio.
Yep. Talk me through the deal itself. This deal, this property.
So four bedroom stilt home, I guess you would say.
High set, Queenslander.
High set, Queenslander. About 800 square meters, I think we're sitting on there. You know, had a brand new roof, or the roof had just been redone, which, you know, there's 30 years that you don't have to worry about that. It'd just been re-stumped. It had a pretty decent freshen up at some point in the last kind of 5 years. So, you know, a lot of the key costs of any form of, you know, renovating But
this is Luke's nice way of around of saying it was a fully renovated home, literally, yeah. like structurally, yeah. internally. It was pretty good. It was good. I like this one.
I believe the term is turnkey. It's ready to go. Had tenants in it.
Nail on the head.
Send it.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Talk us through. All right. Numbers. 295.
295. That's again, seemingly all my properties rent for the same money. It's 450.
He's like, if I can't get 450, let's sit this thing vacant until I can get 450.
Yeah, you can only go and spend this much to go buy the place, and it has to rent for this much. That's the brief, and it comes through in the text message. It's just like, hey, I found it. Okay, bye.
All right, man. So 295 purchase price. What do we call a market val on purchase of this thing?
I think we had like 40 grand equity, 50 grand equity. I think it's middle threes
on, now. On the way through when we picked this one up, I think because of the renovated product, we probably weren't sitting quite as high in terms of the initial equity because there was so much value in it for what it was, right? So it was kind of more like because the product was so good, I actually thought there was a bit less in that one. We're probably sitting more around about a 30, like a standard sort of 30, which is what we aim for. But obviously the market was going through a nice little uptick at the same time. So it's kind of like maybe not as much as some of the others. Like obviously that second Perth one had so much in it, that's especially crazy. the first Brizzy one as well. Had a huge amount in it, but I feel like as this market was turning, it was such a turnkey product, just in such good nick.
Made a lot of sense.
One. Yeah, it was beautiful, and the rent that it was going to pull, because I knew the yield was a big one for you on this one as well, that we really had to focus on.
Yep.
We knew we were going to be able to rent it out mid fours from day one, which we did.
Which we have.
Mm.
And, you know, here we are, still getting it, and it's low grief.
That's it, man. That's it. And in terms of values at the moment as well that you think of for that one, you know?
360, 370, yeah. Probably somewhere there.
Yeah, you're probably on the money for that. And when did we buy that? 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Mid last year. Yeah. Beautiful. So you're up.
August, basically.
You're up, what, bloody 30%, pretty close.
Yeah, it was
25, 30%.
4 in 2 years, pretty much to the day.
4 in 2 years.
4 in 2 years.
From a $250,000 mistake to, what equity are you sitting on now?
Half a mil
equity. What's the value of the portfolio, do you reckon? You'll say 550 in the first one. We probably should have this written down, guys, but
yeah.
We'll 550, 450. There's a milli.
It's about 1.6.
Yeah, okay.
1.6.
1.6, 1.7, somewhere around that. Yeah, beautiful.
About
1.1 debt. Okay, yeah. Beautiful. Sweet. So you're sitting around about...
Good LVR.
Yeah, like low. Sitting in the 60s, probably high 60s, yeah. Something around that as the LVR.
Which is a good place to be, given where rates are and stuff. I mean, obviously, there's been a bit of refi-ing and kind of stuff, so that 100%. Helps the rates massively.
Yeah. And overall yield of the portfolio as well, because obviously you're pulling 450 per week. Most of your purchases were sub 300. You've got one that's just over. So call it like as an average around about that 300 grand mark. You're earning for 450 a week, mate. That is a pretty impressive yield. You know, you're seeing 7.5-8% across the board on that portfolio. Man, that's epic. I love it.
Works well.
What are your thoughts? Sorry, man, go for it.
No, it's a low stress thing. Like it just works so well. And, you know, it's awesome to have something that's creating wealth without having to have too many touch points on it. It operates by itself, pays for itself. I kind of occasionally remember that I have them.
When I call you and say you want another one.
Yeah. When the text message comes through, I go, okay, I better action that.
Better pull some equity out.
Yeah.
What do I got?
Oh,
shit.
Oh, there's some there. We can do that. Yeah. Let's go.
Man, it's honestly a crazy story, man. To me, it's a super inspiring story. Like I love, you know, we'll cover this with some other people, like your brother, man. Like when Liam comes in and we run through everything him, it's inspiring because of how low he started with and the low income, low deposits and everything. Like I always say that as super inspiring stories because it reminds me heaps of myself when I started out.
Sure.
But it was like a different level of inspiration, man, because there's so many people that are out there and they've been burned, you know, and they put their head in the sand and they go, you know what, I'm never going to invest again. I got burnt by it. It's shit. You know, so many people say it's good, but then you hear about all these horror stories and you know, I don't believe the others, but yeah, I've had a, you know, man, you've turned it around. You've had a crack.
Yeah.
And you've achieved something amazing in a 2 year window and you've almost turned around almost straight away because you bought the one in 2017. Yeah. You've gone through, you've sold it at a loss in 2019. You start again in 2020. You've literally almost just turned it straight away, man.
Yeah. Completely.
Like what, man, how do you feel at the end of all that? Like, it's crazy. Like I just say it again, man. Yeah, again, it's inspiring.
You think about it, like, you know, again, I don't really think about it too much. When you say that,
maybe you should think about it.
Hey, you lost $250,000 and now you've made $500,000
yeah.
in the same time period. Like that's pretty crazy. Yeah.
That's insane, man.
Pretty wild. That's insane. To you. Thanks to you.
Mate, it's not all me, man. You got to, like I said, it's inspiring, dude. Like you've gotten back up. I mean, I can't write your loan docs.
Yeah.
I'm not releasing your equity. You know, I can tell you when you can pull it.
You'd probably be good for it though.
I probably would be.
If you've got any spare under that couch, just let us know. Come visit.
Oh man, my couch is very, very springy. Very springy. Man, what's next, Leo? What are you doing in your portfolio? You've done four properties in 2 years. You've got a ridiculous amount of equity you've created. you know, you got a great yield across the portfolio. What, you know, what's next? If we check back in 12 months with big Lukey, where are you going to be sitting?
Realistically, if there's not another two purchases this year, I'd be pretty disappointed. Ooh, like minimum okay. two. Okay. Like it's the snowball. Like it as it, as I said before, that as it rolls down the hill, it gets bigger, and you know you can't get it bigger if you don't stop buying them.
That's
so
it.
Yeah, two. Another two. So what six. We'll call it here. Six. Nah, let's go seven.
Seven.
Let's say seven.
Okay.
Let's say
seven. He's thinking bigger.
It could happen.
Stretch goal. You need a stretch goal.
Yeah. You got the push.
That's it, man. That's it. What about long term as well? I know we've spoken about this before. You give me a look just then because you're like, I don't like setting long term goals.
Well, I still don't like setting. Like there's, I'm at a point where like I have a goal for like my. So I've got 10 years till I'm 40.
Yep.
When I'm 40, I don't want to have to worry about going to work. Yep. I want my property portfolio to give me a wage that can live my lifestyle. I couldn't not go to work. I can't sit still. Yep. So like I'd have to still work, but. I know
we've got you're on a walking treadmill here. We have to get you something because we're like, you can't just run around the room talking.
I feel like one of those fidget spinners. I'm just sitting here doing a Rubik's Cube. Yes, by 40, I want to be in a position that my property portfolio covers all of my expenses in life and lets me have a lifestyle how I want. You know, is that meaning I need to have 10 properties, 20, 30? I don't know, but I'll just keep buying them anyway. Like I'll get to that point. Doesn't mean I'll stop there either.
So income replacements, that first big goal.
Like it's financial freedom. Yeah. It's 100% financial freedom. Okay. Like
sweet.
Some people say they don't want to go to work. Like I could never do that. I actually enjoy working. Yeah. So that would never stop. It's just giving complete financial freedom, which to a degree I already have that now. Like my property portfolio pays for my rent in the place that I live, which is where I want to live. Mm. It's rent vesting.
100%, man. That's awesome. Man, one, if you don't mind me asking this question as well, like obviously from those very early days when you first started and got everything going, man, what's changed in your mindset towards property, towards property investment, the whole thing in general?
Probably just the level of education, understanding how it works, like the fundamentals, like, and again, there are things that you can read about, but until you go and do it yourself, you don't understand how you can leverage and the results of that and understanding like a structure and how you can do certain things. So like, you know, we talk about pulling levers, you know, I've left one property untouched so we can pull that lever, release all the equity. So then we can go and build two granny flats.
100%.
Like, that's probably where my mindset's changed. And that's just an education and, you know, and just being in the market and doing it. You don't learn that until you do it.
Yeah.
So that's probably the biggest change.
That's cool, man. That's cool. I love
Goal's
that.
Goal's still the same. Heaps of properties.
What about advice to people starting out? Or maybe advice to people there's two questions here for you. People starting out and people that have gone through that same situation you did where they carried a lot or they copped a loss.
Yeah, look, if you go through the first situation, like don't give up. Just educate yourself, trust that it does work. You know, there's a lot of people that have lost money in property, but I guarantee you there's heaps more that have made money. Like
100%.
Like there's a lot more people that have done better. Use it as a motivating tool to go and do better. Like that's basically what I did. I realized what went wrong and I made sure that when I did it again, it was going to be done properly and better. And then the people that haven't started their journey yet, start it. It's as simple as that.
Start it.
Just start it. Doesn't matter if you're going to go and buy a 150K thing out the back of somewhere. If it makes sense and the numbers are there and it's logical, get in the market because it's better to be in it than not. Because again, it's the snowball.
Yeah.
Once you're there, the first one's always the scariest.
First one's always the hardest.
Always the scariest, always the hardest.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great advice, mate. Great advice. Direct from the golden mic.
The golden microphone is on.
No, I love it, mate. Man, any final words? There's a lot of wisdom in here. You've delivered a lot of wisdom.
We try. I've got a lot of scar tissue is what it actually is. Look, final words is if you're thinking about starting your journey, speak to Sam and the guys. They'll help you. It's just start, speak to people. You know, if you don't know, ask questions. Mm. There's no dumb question. I've asked heaps.
And even if you guys aren't ready to start out, guys, like this is what this whole potty is for, you know, and I appreciate Lukey here giving me a shout out, but realistically, you know, most of you listeners will know that isn't even what this is for. This is really to educate you. And it's like episodes like this, it's giving back, giving some ideas and like, you know, people that have gone through things that are probably worse than what most of you have gone through. I don't know that many people that have lost $250,000 and then turned it around in 3 years and they're two times in front of that in equity. Like, man, that's inspirational shit. And like, that's what I think the really big thing is there. Like, even if you're not, you know, in a position yet ready to go, cause it's great, you know, just get started and everything. Even if it's just education,
fully
educate yourself while you're saving your deposit. So you don't make sorry to say it, but that same mistake or a mistake similar to that. And that's why I think, man, it's awesome, mate. It's, like I said, mate, it's an inspiring story, man. I really appreciate you coming on sharing with us today.
Anytime. It's a good one.
Beautiful, man.
Hopefully people can take stuff out of this and you know, realize what not to do.
I'm sure they will, mate. People will take a lot of inspiration from it. Lukey, mate, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Guys, that's another episode of the Scouting Australia podcast all wrapped up today. If you enjoyed it, make sure you please jump on, give us a 5-star review. If there's any questions you'd like us to ask Luke, send them in. I'll answer them on a Q&A as well. If you've got any other questions that you do want answered on Q&As, we do them monthly, guys. Make sure you send them in. Anything else you guys want covered or you want to see as well, send it in to all the socials at the handles at Australian Property Scout on all platforms. And if you've taken any real gold out of this episode and there's anyone you think or anyone you know in your circle, someone that might have had a similar situation to Lukey, you know, in any position of life, guys, if you've taken value and you think someone else could benefit from it, please send this podcast on and share the love and really start getting some circle and some motion around this as well. Lukey, thank you once again, mate. Been great having you on. Listeners, thanks for joining us. And until next time, guys, that's another episode of the Scouting Australia podcast.